Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Have you ever marveled at the exquisite precision with which a complex organism like yourself develops? Think about your own hands and fingers forming perfectly, or how a limb knows exactly where to grow. It all sounds like magic, but it's guided by our genetic code. And it's not just the genes themselves pulling the strings. Imagine tiny genetic control panels called enhancers, little switches that tell genes when and where to turn on or off, ensuring a limb develops exactly as it should. Here's where it gets really interesting. What if these critical control panels are located incredibly far away from the genes they regulate? We're talking hundreds of thousands, even millions, of base pairs distant on the DNA strand. How do they talk to each other across such vast genomic stretches? And what happens when that crucial long-distance communication breaks down, leading to developmental missteps?
Well, today, we're embarking on a deep dive into a groundbreaking discovery that unpacks a missing piece in this incredible genetic puzzle. It's about a specific genetic element that acts like a kind of range extender, allowing vital developmental signals to bridge these immense distances and ensure everything grows just right. This fundamentally shifts our understanding, really, of how our bodies are built with such precision.
We're excited to celebrate the remarkable work of the research team led by Evgeny Z. Kavon at the Department of Developmental and Cell Biology, University of California, Irvine, along with their collaborators. They've truly advanced our understanding of long-range gene regulation in mammalian development. Their work illuminates a previously hidden layer of genetic control.
Okay, let's unpack this a bit. Our genome isn't just a simple linear string of genes, right?
Not at all. Think of it more like a meticulously folded three-dimensional landscape.
Right, 3D. And within this landscape, non-coding elements, bits of DNA that don't directly code for proteins called enhancers, play a critical role. Exactly. As you said, they're like the dimmer switches for our genes, activating gene expression in specific cells and at precise times during development.
Without them, the blueprint just sort of sits there.
Precisely. And for decades, we've known that disruptions to this intricate gene regulation can lead to serious diseases.
Like what, for instance?
Well, anything from severe developmental anomalies like malformed limbs, all the way to debilitating cancers. The big challenge has always been understanding how some enhancers can activate genes located incredibly far away.
And we're talking really far away.
Sometimes over distances that are hundreds or even thousands of times greater than typical enhancer gene interactions.
Yeah.
It's like trying to, shout instructions across a massive canyon.
We've understood that the 3D folding of DNA helps, right? Proteins like CTCF and cohesin.
Yes, they play a role. They help bring enhancers and their target genes physically closer together, allowing them to shake hands, so to speak.
CTCF acts like an anchor, maybe? Defining boundaries?
Sort of, yeah, defining architectural boundaries, while cohesin helps create those DNA loops that bring distant regions into proximity.
But as this paper points out, even when these established mechanisms are at play, or maybe even when they're somewhat disrupted, some long-range communication still persists.
That's the mystery. It suggests something else is going on.
So what else is at play? What hidden genetic factors are truly establishing these critical, extreme, long-distance connections?
That's the million-dollar question this paper tackles head-on. They dove into this mystery by focusing on a prime example, the Sheesh gene, or Sonic Hedgehog.
Ah, Sonic Hedgehog. Critical for development.
Absolutely critical for proper limb development. Without it, you simply don't get fully formed limbs. Its precise expression in the limb is controlled by a specific enhancer called the ZRS.
ZRS, zone of polarizing activity regulatory sequence. Got it.
Exactly. Now, here's the kicker. In mice, the ZRS is located a massive 848 kilobases away from the Xi gene itself.
Wow, 848 kilobases, that's nearly a million base pairs.
It's huge. And without the ZRS, expression in the limb is completely lost, leading to severe limb malformations.
Okay, so that makes it an ideal model, I guess, a very, very dramatic one, to study this extreme long-range regulation.
Precisely.
So how do you solve a mystery like that? They didn't just guess, you said. They took a more direct approach.
A brilliantly direct, almost surgical approach, yes. They set up a definitive test right inside living mice, specifically at that crucial shh locus.
Like a genetic switcheroo experiment.
That's a good way to put it. They started by taking several known short and medium range limb enhancers.
Like HS72, MMP164.
Those ones, yes. And HS1516, MM1492. These normally regulate genes much closer to them, you know, ranging from maybe 73 kilobases up to about 411 kilobases away. Then, using advanced genetic engineering, they replaced the ZRS, that essential long-range enhancer, with these other enhancers.
Okay, so the idea was to see if these guest enhancers could handle the long-distance job of the ZRS, even though they normally work closer.
Exactly. Could they step up to the plate?
And what happened? Did these guest enhancers take over and rescue limb development?
Intriguingly, no. And this is critical.
They failed.
Completely failed.
Yeah.
Despite being robust enhancers in their native genomic contexts, these transplanted elements couldn't activate SH from 848 kilobases away.
So what did that mean for the mice?
It led to a complete loss of SH expression in the limbs and, critically, severe limb reduction. Basically, truncated limbs.
Wow. So it really drove home the point. Short and medium range enhancers just can't cut it at that distance.
Exactly. Even if they're otherwise perfectly functional. The researchers checked, too. These enhancers were still accessible. They're compatible with the SH promoter. Hmm. The problem really was the distance.
Like you said, shouting across a canyon, but their voices just couldn't carry that far.
Go fifth analogy.
So they needed something more than just a powerful enhancer to bridge that gap. This really does sound like a detective story. What did they do next to find the missing piece?
Well, they brought out the heavy artillery, genomics-wise. They employed a sophisticated arsenal of cutting-edge techniques. In situ hybridization, to actually see SHE gene expression in the developing limbs.
Just see where and when it was active.
Exactly. Skeletal staining to assess the actual limb development, looking for those malformations.
Right.
And then they went deeper with chromatin profiling, things like ATAC-seq and single nucleus multiome profiling.
Multiome. So looking at multiple things in single cells.
That's right. SNATAC-seq for DNA accessibility and snRNA-seq for gene expression, all from the same nucleus. Incredibly granular detail.
Pinpointing molecular culprits at a microscopic scale.
Precisely. And finally, they did extensive motif analysis, searching for specific DNA sequences, little patterns in the code, that might be acting as that elusive missing link.
So after all that meticulous work analyzing mountains of data, did they find it? Was there a range extender switch hiding somewhere?
They did. They nailed it. They identified a previously uncharacterized, highly conserved genetic element located right next to HS72, one of those short-range enhancers they'd studied.
And they gave it a name.
They named this new element REX, short for range extender.
REX.
Okay.
Their prime suspect.
Hiding in plain sight, you could say.
And this is where it gets truly unexpected, you mentioned. REX on its own, it does nothing.
Pretty much, yeah. No classical enhancer activity whatsoever. You put in a standard reporter assay and it's silent, just sits there.
So knowing that, how could this possibly be the missing piece? What happened when they combined it with those other enhancers?
Oh, that's the aha moment. When they added this REX element to the short range HS72 enhancer and then transplanted that combination into the SH locus.
Let me guess.
It worked. It completely restored SH expression and led to full limb outgrowth in the mice.
Incredible.
And even more strikingly, they combined REX with MM1492. Remember, that's the one that normally only works at 73 kilobases.
Yeah, the really short range one.
REX boosted its functional range all the way up to that massive 848 kilobases, fully rescuing limb development.
So REX is like adding a booster rocket to the enhancer?
That's a great way to think about it. It demonstrated that REX is both necessary and sufficient to confer this long-distance regulatory activity. It acts in a truly modular fashion.
It's not the engine itself, but the turbocharger that lets the engine perform over incredible distances.
Exactly.
A real game changer, then. This isn't just a new piece. It's like finding a previously unknown supercharger for our genes. What exactly is RX at the molecular level? What gives it this power?
So through incredibly detailed sequence analysis, they zeroed in on its structure. RX contains highly conserved cittata motifs.
Okay, cittata motifs, what are those?
These are specific DNA sequences known as homeodomain motifs. They act as crucial docking stations, basically, for particular transcription factors, those proteins that regulate gene activity. And notably, these motifs are key binding sites for specific transcription factors called LHX2 and LHX9.
LHX2 and LHX9, important developmental factors.
Very important. And what's particularly interesting is that REX does not contain the common CTCF or YY1 motifs, which we usually associate with genome architecture.
Suggesting a completely novel mechanism for this long-range action.
Precisely.
And to really prove it was these specific motifs, they did more mutations, right? They didn't just stop at identifying them.
Exactly. Good science requires proof. They meticulously mutated these LHX CTATA motifs directly within the REX element.
And the result?
Clear as day. Mutating these specific motifs completely abolished REX's ability to facilitate that long-range activity. The mice ended up with severely truncated limbs again.
But if they mutated other motifs nearby?
Crucially, when they mutated other motifs within REX, like one called LAF1, it had no such effect.
Ah, so that confirms the specificity. It really is the LHX motifs doing the work, like proving a specific key fits a specific lock.
Couldn't have said it better.
Okay, so REX contains these critical motifs. They're essential. But you mentioned this goes beyond just REX. They found the CTATA signature elsewhere.
That's what makes this finding so powerful. It wasn't just a one-off in REX. Crucially, they found that these CTATA homeodomain motifs are significantly enriched in long-range limb enhancers across the entire genome.
Across the whole genome, wow.
Well, certainly enriched in other long-range limb enhancers they looked at. In fact, enhancers with more than one of these motifs were, on average, 429 kilobases farther from their target genes compared to those with fewer.
So it suggests a widespread principle, a common strategy for long-distance control.
It really does.
So this specific DNA signature, these CTATA motifs, are essentially a universal indicator, or at least a strong indicator, of long-distance action for enhancers. Almost like a barcode for long-range function.
That seems to be the case, yes. And they brilliantly confirmed this by going back to the ZRS itself. Remember, the original 848 kilobounce enhancer for Schick.
Right, the one they started with.
They found the ZRS also contains multiple CTATA motifs. And guess what happened when they mutated those motifs in the endogenous ZRS?
Let me guess. It lost its long-range ability.
Exactly. Long-range activity was lost, resulting again in severe limb reduction.
But here's the surprising part you mentioned earlier. What about its other functions?
This is really fascinating. Even with those mutated motifs, the ZRS still retained its short-range, tissue-specific activity when tested in reporter assays.
So it could still turn on a gene nearby in the right tissue, just not the one far away?
Precisely. This clearly showed that the ability of an enhancer to act in a specific tissue, its tissue specificity, and its ability to act from a great distance, its range, are distinct and separable functions.
They're not two sides of the same coin.
Not necessarily, no. Two different capabilities controlled, it seems, by different sequence features. And in a final, really elegant experiment, they added REX back to the ZRS that had its own motifs mutated.
And REX could substitute?
It partially rescued the limb outgrowth, underscoring their functional equivalence in providing that long-range boost.
This is huge. It really feels like a fundamental shift in how we need to think about gene regulation, a completely new layer.
It really is.
But you know, for someone hearing this, are there still questions? I mean, how exactly does REX or these motifs bridge the gap? Do we know the precise mechanism?
That's an excellent point. While this study identifies REX and the motifs as key players, the precise molecular choreography is still being worked out. How do these LHX proteins bound to these motifs actually facilitate communication over such distances? Does it involve specific kinds of DNA looping we haven't appreciated before?
Maybe some other kind of interaction?
Possibly. Maybe it's less about forming a stable loop and more about facilitating transient interactions, or maybe interacting with the transcription machinery in a novel way. The exact how is definitely the next big question.
And REX itself is unique, you said, not like the CTCF sites we knew about.
That's correct. It appears to be a novel type of cis-acting regulatory element, distinct from those previously characterized architectural elements.
So its discovery really opens up a whole new avenue of research.
Absolutely. Into how the 3D genome facilitates gene regulation beyond the mechanisms we thought we had figured out. It's like finding whole new roads on the genomic highway map.
So what does this mean for the bigger picture, thinking about human disease, or even the potential for genetic engineering down the line?
The implications are pretty significant, I think. Firstly, just understanding normal development better. This helps explain the incredible precision we started talking about.
Right.
Secondly, for human genetics, this could be really important. Think about non-coding genetic variants, changes in DNA outside of genes.
The ones that are often hard to interpret.
Exactly. This work suggests some variants might specifically disrupt just the long-range ability of an enhancer, leaving its tissue-specific function intact.
Leading to potentially very specific, maybe subtle, disease phenotypes.
Precisely, which might explain some conditions that have been puzzling. It gives us a new lens for interpreting genetic mutations found in patients.
So better diagnostics, potentially.
Potentially, yes. And future research will definitely be looking at how widespread these REX-like elements and motifs are across the whole genome, not just in limbs, and digging into those molecular mechanisms involving LHX proteins. There's clearly so much more to uncover about this hidden layer of genetic control.
Okay, let's try and boil this down. Here's the key takeaway. This deep dive has revealed the REX element and its associated Cittata homeodomain motifs as critical drivers of long-distance gene regulation. This mechanism ensures genes like SH get activated precisely where and when needed, even from way across the genomic neighborhood. And critically, this long-range capability seems to be distinct from the enhancer's basic job of working in the right tissue.
Exactly. So the big question moving forward is, now that we understand this hidden layer of long-distance genetic control, what does this mean for how we approach diagnosing and maybe even developing therapies for complex genetic disorders, especially those that have historically baffled us because they stem from these non-coding regions? How can we use this knowledge?
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this analysis, the best way to support Base by Base is to subscribe or follow in your favorite podcast app and leave us a 5-star rating. It only takes a few seconds, but makes a huge difference in helping others discover the show. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, Base by Base.